Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Dr. Mike Bott, who is a chiropractor for the PGA Tour and PGA Tour Champions. He founded Pinnacle Sports Performance and Rehabilitation in Austin, Texas, and is certified by the Titleist Performance Institute to identify and overcome any physical restrictions that are limiting a student's golf potential, and a future author. We'll get into all of that. But first, welcome to Sports Interview, Doctor.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be on.
Well, it's great to have you on, and there's a lot to talk about. Let's first start with your work with players on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour. What kind of injuries are you treating with professional golfers mostly?
You should ask. The most common thing I see, and the most common thing we see in general, is low back pain. And so in golf, that's probably the number one thing, is lower back problems because of the amount of torque and rotation in a golf swing. And these guys travel all the time and they don't take care of their best posture type things. And so lower back things are the most common thing. And we also see neck pain, stiffness, tightness. Guys wake up, cricks in their neck from sleeping funny on an airplane or on a different mattress or a different pillow. So see a lot of neck problems as well. It's different in the Champions Tour compared to the PGA Tour, as well as the type of injuries that we are most commonly seeing. So it kind of varies on the tour to tour as far as the most common injuries, but those tend to be the most common things that I will see in my out there when I'm working with the players.
And with the pros over 50 on the Champions Tour, how different are injuries and the treatment?
They tend to have a little bit more wear and tear, particularly in their lower back. A lot of times wrist injuries, because of the amount of, they might have hit a few more roots in their life, hitting a good shot. They might have hit a rock or two. But so I see a little bit more wear and tear things in those joints, wrists, lower back. They get a lot of thoracic spine, upper back mobility things that happen because we kind of get a little bit tighter through our shoulder blades as we get older. And so those tend to be the most common things. They're not as with their swings, their swing speed's not even close to the guys on the regular tour. So, they're not putting their spines in that much jeopardy.
So how many of these injuries are actually related to overuse as opposed to perhaps poor posture?
Overuse and posture, poor posture can go hand in hand too, especially if poor posture is not being mindful of having poor posture. But that tends to be a big part of the breakdown, is having poor posture to start with, and then things start to wear down as a result of that. I look at posture as the baseline and what we try to build a good base, and that starts with our posture. And so that tends to be the first thing I work on with a lot of younger athletes that I'm with, is let's start with your posture. Let's start with basic things, and then let's build up from there as a bridge, and see, as your posture gets better with your body, your mindfulness gets better, you breathe better. So there's lots that happens from the posture aspect of it.
So can you describe what good posture is? So we can all kind of check ourselves when we're sitting in front of our computers, our desk, when we're driving. What should we be thinking about regarding good posture?
Posture starts, a lot of times it's in our lower back. So as we slouch with our lower backs or round our lower backs, everything follows suit, right? Your head gets forward, your shoulders round forward. So a lot of times what I try to do is just roll up a small towel or a pillow and put it in the small of your back. That'll start to bring your posture more upright. And then a real simple trick with posture is to take your sternum or the bottom of your breastbone and just point it slightly, tilt it slightly towards the sky. That gets your head in the right position, and it gets your head taller, but you don't have to pull your shoulder blades back necessarily. It's just taking that bottom angle of your sternum and just tilting it upwards just a little bit. And that gets you in a really nice position. That's sort of the basics of it with posture. And then as we try to give you the right strengthening things to strengthen those muscles that are going to hold you there, we tend to be able to hold on to posture, good posture, better.
Well, that's great advice. So I'm going to think about that every time I'm sitting down or driving, just to, develop that good posture, because I've been fortunate. I haven't really had very many injuries all these years. And then all of a sudden, I have a shoulder injury from serving in tennis, which I haven't done in so long. And I went out about a month and a half ago and did that, and my arm hasn't felt the same since. Do I have hope, doctor? Is there, I had x-rays, they were good. I'm doing physical therapy now, and I know there's inflammation. So what's the diagnosis? What's your diagnosis over the air here?
A lot of times it's because we haven't, like you mentioned, you haven't done it in a long time. And then you go try to play like you did when you played. And so our muscles aren't preloaded the way they should be. They're not strong enough to take on that activity necessarily right away. So because of that, we put our joints sometimes in jeopardy, especially in tennis with that overhead position. And, you know, our shoulders don't like to work in an overhead position. So you start playing tennis again, but you haven't preloaded your muscles enough and got the right muscles strong enough in your rotator cuff, for example, then we might be predisposed or exposing ourselves to potential injuries like your shoulder injury. Just like with golf, we teach people and teach, you know, professionals or amateurs where they need to be stronger, where they need to be more mobile, and really focus on those things as a building block. Once again, sort of like the posture stuff. So let's start there and see where you're strong, where you're weak. And then let's go into those sports like tennis or golf. So to answer your question, it's probably a weakness in your rotator cuff, in your shoulder muscles, that when you try to go back out and play at the same level, they really weren't ready to hold you there. Make sense?
Yes, definitely. So what should I have done? Probably strengthen that shoulder, those shoulder muscles, you know, for weeks prior to actually going out and serving, right?
Exactly. Strengthen the rotator cuff. Go through a really nice rotator cuff protocol, overhead sport types protocols that you can look for online for overhead sport athletes. And tennis is an overhead sport, of course. Mm-hmm. And so if we look and see what muscles we need to really focus on with overhead sports like baseball or tennis, you know, then we can kind of know, let's go into it knowing that our rotator cuff should be strong and our hips should be nice and mobile as well. And strong as the stronger your hips are, you know, that generate a lot of power through your lower body.
Let's get back to golf. So amateur players, what should we be doing before we even get to the driving range to warm up?
One, I think you have an evaluation done by somebody that does the Titleist Performance Institute type evaluations to know where you need to specifically work on before you go to the range or to the courts, because your hips may be strong but not mobile, and somebody else's thoracic spine or upper back might not be stiff, but their hips may be really strong. So I think one is to get a really good idea of, from an evaluation standpoint, where am I strong? Where am I weak? And where do I need to focus on to go into those activities and do those specific preventative activities or exercises before your round of golf or before your tennis match? And then kind of see how it feels to preload those muscles, because they're going to work better when they're preloaded and they're working the way they should and all engines are firing, as they say.
So you're actually recommending that somebody does pretty much a performance, you know, identification of what your, where your body is before you can even like prescribe or do any kinds of warm-up exercises.
So mainly because I know so, because if you aren't, if you're just doing a generalized program, you may be missing things that are important for what you need to do on the court or on the golf course to make your shots more, you know, more precise, or to make your, you know, attempts to make birdies or pars more reasonable, right? So I think that, yes, I think it's good to have those evaluations done. Not everybody can have them done, but there's some things you can look at online. How much mobility do you need in your hip? How much mobility do you need in your spine to, you know, actively prevent types of injuries from happening?
But you can go to a chiropractor or a therapist and get, you know, this TPI exercise done, right? I mean, they're pretty much all over the country, right?
Yes, they are. You just look up the Titleist Performance Institute online and they'll have experts in your area that can give you a really good evaluation and a good prescribed program for you to do. And then follow up. I have my patients follow up with me every couple of weeks and we progress them with their exercises and make sure that they're doing their exercises correctly and give them the accurate progressions that they can use to move to the next level of the sport. You know, go from a 7 handicap to a 4 handicap, you know, or, you know, so there's types of things we can do and evaluate and have a nice baseline, right? Don't we want a nice baseline for where you are and where you want to be and make sure that we are taking all the necessary steps to reach that goal. And so the evaluations through the Titleist Performance Institute give me a really nice baseline of where my athletes are. And with my PGA golfers that live in the area, I do preseason type evaluations on them and I see where they are. And then throughout the year, we'll kind of reassess them and see What were their goals? Are they close to meeting their goals? Is there, for example, is their club head speed where they want it to be, or is their ball speed where they want it to be? And I think those are nice ways to tell whether their performance is the way that we want it on the golf course.
And a lot of it has to do with stretching. And I know a lot of times, you know, I stretch every day, and obviously before I play golf, and then I'll go hit balls. But it, even doing all of that, I sometimes need 9 holes before I'm making a full turn. So what can amateur golfers do better before we even get to the first tee box so that we know we're, you know, we're flexible enough and we can make that turn right off the bat?
Have blood going through those muscles. Have those muscles actively working before you start to demand on them while you're on the course. So for example, if your lower back's weak, maybe go into the gym and do some side planks, do some extensions on the ball, get those muscles, they got blood in them now, so they're gonna work more efficiently. So once that happens, and once we know that our strength and our flexibility are both good, then I think it's easier to go out and play those sports and not be at risk of getting injured because those muscles are firing the way they should and working the way that they should.
I always play better golf, and I'm sure you hear this, if, you know, if I run first, then do my laps. And that's why a very early tee time for me does not work. I need the whole morning just to kind of loosen up, get warmed up before I go play golf, right? So the professionals, how much time do they spend in the gym, you know, before or after a round with you, say?
In the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, we have 2 trailers in the Performance Center. We have one that's a gym that's a full workout facility, and the other one's the treatment center where the physical therapist and I work. And so typically they'll go get their workouts in first. They'll get their muscles preloaded. They'll get warm. They'll do their cardiovascular exercise. They'll use bands. Some of them use free weights. And then they'll come in and see us after a lot of times. But now we know that they're loose, and so we have an accurate idea of what their mobility really is like. And then we'll have them go out and hit some putts, some balls on the range, some drivers, some wedges, and see how their body's feeling. And they can come back in if they need something else worked on or tweaked. We're always in there, so they can pop back in there and get that stuff taken care of. But that's typically what they'll do. They'll come in an hour. We have to be there an hour and a half before the first tee time. And so they'll do that hour in the gym, then they'll come see us and they'll go eat breakfast and hit some putts and chips and go tackle that 64.
Right, exactly. Wouldn't that be great? They spend about an hour, you'd say, in the Performance Center just to get their body ready to go hit balls.
Pretty much an hour to an hour and a half, typically, they will be there. These guys are get kind of bored, so they just kind of come. Sometimes they'll just come in loiter, and they'll hang out in the player performance center because they're the only ones allowed in there. So it's sort of their getaway
sanctuary,
so to say, right?
So what? Give me some fun stories, you know, with some of the pros you might have treated. Anything fun and different you can tell us?
There was a really good story with Phil and Tiger when they had their battle in Vegas at Shadow Creek, and as we know, Phil kindly won $9 million off Tiger, and so Phil told his pilot, they had their planes parked next to each other at McCarran Airport, and Phil told his pilot, he said, "Hey, I'll go over there and I want you to tell Phil's pilot to tell Tiger's pilot to take all of mine and Amy's stuff and our clubs and put it on Tiger's plane. Take it to Florida. We'll give him the receipt to fly everything back to California." And his pilot said, whoa, why do you have to go through all that? He said, "How much stuff do Phil and Amy have?" He said, "Well, we have $9 million cash on our plane, and that stuff, it's pretty heavy, so it's going to weigh us down."
Oh, that's funny. So he was giving Tiger the business. So were you the physical therapist, chiropractor for that match?
I was not. No, I wasn't. That was a pretty small match. So, that's a pretty funny story. There's also one about Lee Trevino playing in a pro-am. And he's telling the story about one of the guys was playing really poorly. He said he's just beside himself. And Lee Trevino looked at him. He said, "You're standing too close." The player says, "Too close to the ball?" He says, "No, too close to the course."
I love Lee Trevino. Oh my gosh.
He's well, so great. I love Lee.
Yeah. Who are, what are some of the tournaments that you actually have worked?
So I've worked on the Champions Tour, on the regular tour. On the regular tour, I work, luckily in Austin, we have an event here that I get to work the Dell Match Play. I work in Mexico City, World Golf Championship event, which is a fantastic event to work, to go to Mexico City and see the wonderful, beautiful people of Mexico City and have a great time. Get to go to Calgary, to Canada, which is where I grew up, to work the Champions Tour up there, which is always a fun event because my family's still up there. It's a nice little vacation slash work trip. I get, it takes me everywhere fun. It's really, you know, when I was asked to be a member of the PGA Tour medical staff, it was, it took such honor and it was such a nice thing to hear from them that they trusted me with their players. And it was a really honorable moment in my life to be able to be asked to do that. So I'm blessed with wherever I get to go. And so, you know, it's a fun career and it's exciting and getting to know some of these guys and getting to know more about golf and how golf works and golf injuries and all types of other injuries as well, you know, working with other athletes and all other sports. So it's been a fun career.
What's your background? You said you grew up in Canada.
I was born in England, raised in Calgary, and went to undergrad, University of Alberta in Edmonton, then went to school in Houston and got a great job in Austin, Texas, and ended up here and been here since I graduated in 1992. So sitting
Ben
here
Crenshaw
watching.
Crenshaw territory.
You know it. You know it. Ben's a wonderful guy. Got some great golf courses out here. If you ever get out here, I could take you on some really nice golf tracks out here for sure.
I love Austin, Texas. My brother got his master's at University of Texas, and he's a musician and in speech communications, a professor, and he loved Austin. It was it's the live music capital of the country, right?
That's of the what world. They say. It's the live the music world. Capital of the world, they say. That's right. Wow. Yeah.
So there's a lot of places to go, a lot of fun places to go after you play golf and do all that you do during the day in Austin. Well, how about this? Knowing the extent of Tiger Woods' injuries from that serious car accident this past February, what do you believe are his chances to, can he recover 100% and possibly play professional golf again?
If anybody's going to do it, Tiger's going to do it. There's no question in my mind. You know, the injuries to the ankle, they're definitely going to limit your ability to rotate on that right side, which is really important in golf, as golfers well know. But if you look at a guy like John Rahm, who has a very similar issue with his right ankle, he has adapted to it and he's, you know, got a shorter swing. So there are ways that players that have that talent level and skill can maneuver their way around a golf course, even with these types of injuries. If anybody is going to do it, it will be him. And he works hard at it. You know, and there's no question in my mind. I think that he has all the ability to get it back out there and play and maybe even win. You know, I wouldn't put it past him to go out there and win another tournament. No question about it.
What about all the lower, all his lower back issues? You know, he came back after all those four surgeries and won the Masters, which was incredible a few years ago. You know, I guess it's so hard to speculate because, you know, until you really talk to Tiger and find out where his head is at, does he really want to do what it takes to come back? Is that something that's even, you know, on his priority list? You never know. I mean, he's being a dad, his son's a very good player. His daughter's great in soccer. So I think he has his hands full just being a father with two really good athletes in the house, right? Who aren't Tiger himself. So it really depends. People ask me all the time, is Tiger going to come back? Is he going to play again? It's really, to me, it's really up to him from a mental standpoint, right? If he wants to do what it takes to come back, and then obviously his body with all the injuries that he's endured, and all the surgeries, his body has to cooperate.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if your physical abilities are limited, your mental abilities can overcome that in a lot of ways. Our brains are really, really powerful things to get through pain, discomfort, dysfunction, correct? So, you know, if you're out in the golf course and you have, you know, for Tiger, for example, if he has a little trouble with his right leg, he's going to figure out ways to get around that injury or that disability for him that will be.
So now you have an interesting nickname, Batman. What's that all about?
I've been Batman my whole life because, you know, growing up in Montreal as an immigrant from England, it was interesting being one of the only brown kids in the neighborhood. How many times you would have to make friends with people, and being Batman was maybe the easiest way because it was easier for them to pronounce than my name. So yeah, I've been Batman my whole life, and around here, if anybody gets hurt, they say go see Batman. It's kind of a fun little marketing niche that we've devolved just within the natural being that being the name.
but it's actually your last name's pronounced. It's Dr. Mike Bott, right?
Pronounced bot is how it's pronounced, but people in Texas, they can't say bat. Bot, they say bat.
People in Texas say bat. Hey, Miss Dr. Bat, I got it.
Dr. Bat.
Enough said. I love it. That's so great. Oh, my goodness. So tell me about, you invented a device, right, that people can use at home to stretch or what? Tell me about it. Oh, I see it. Okay.
It's a foam roller. It's called the Swingback Foam Roller. It's been so much fun. I've got it used in professional sports franchises. You'll see it on the Portland Trailblazers, and, you know, in before games, during games. It's used by collegiate sports teams, used by the PGA. And I kind of designed it in a way that if I were working on a patient, it's an extension of how I treat patients. You know, I've developed it with three different surfaces, you know, the elevated protrusions, what they do, these rounded areas. So when you put those on your traps or on your neck, it compresses the tissue, like when you go to a massage therapist and they push on that area of a knot in your muscle. What that does is helps to bring in blood flow, which helps with healing. The middle part is designed, it's the bone zone. So it's indented so your spine doesn't hit it. Your femur doesn't hit it down your leg if you're working on your IT band or your lower leg, upper leg. And then the end is also a surface that you can use. So I kind of envisioned how my hands would be on a patient if I was working on them when I'm no longer able to see patients if my hands break down. It's just sort of an extension of what I enjoyed doing and to allow people to continue to get better mobility, have better range of motion,
It's ingenious. I love it's a foam roller, but it actually has like knobs on it. So what do you lay down on what, like your upper back and just roll back and forth on it? Is that basically how it works?
Yeah, you put your spine in the middle, then each of these protrusions puts pressure on the muscles. You know, Nick Faldo is actually one of our brand ambassadors and partners on it. And so it allows you, as you roll on your back, it helps to restore the curves in your spine. You know, our spine has three curves, and whenever we slouch, we end up with one curve. And I'll tell people, it's like if you take your finger and you pull it all the way back, it hurts the joint. By using the Swingback Foam Roller, it allows you to restore those curves gently by at the same time really saving your spine by not putting pressure right on the bone, but allowing the musculature along each side of the spine to relax and loosen up.
That's awesome. I have to get one of those. Hey, if it's good enough for Sir Nick Faldo, six-time major champion, three-time Masters champion, I think it would be good for any of us, right, to use.
Exactly.
And a great way, as you say, to stretch out all those muscles before you actually even start your stretching routine. Well, tell me about the new book that you're working on.
I read a book. It's called Little Kenzie Sits Up Tall. It's a children's book that helps children restore good posture, good breathing, good mindfulness, because since the pandemic, I've seen so many more kids in my practice with bad neck pain, back pain, headaches, anxiety. And I scratched my head and I thought, where is this coming from? And I sort of figured out it's from personal devices and kids don't know, and they're fearful and they're anxious about what's going on. They're at computers more times during the day. And so I kind of tried to get a book we can get some basic simple things back in their lives let's get some routine back in our lives. And that's the most important thing. So it helps with, there's a six little quick little verses. It's sort of based like Dr. Seuss. It rhymes, it's fun. In the back, there's four fun pages of the body, facts about the body, and then some additional things in the back, like QR codes where you can scan for exercises that you and your kids can do. And so it's a fun thing we're going to have out here soon. And hopefully we can get all of our kids straightened up with good posture and good mindfulness. And their parents will follow suit and do the same stuff and go, wait a minute, we really have bad posture too.
You know, I think it's very important to get young people thinking about that, because, you know, posture is so important. And if you have poor posture at an early age, it's only going to get worse as you age, right? So I just think it's brilliant to get, you know, young people educated about this.
Well, think about it. Even as people are listening or sitting there, if you sit taller, you feel better. You're the endorphins in your body, the enkephalins in your body, all these chemical things that changes that happen in our bodies occur, but we don't really think that they're happening. And but even when I sit taller, I feel better. It puts a smile on my face. You know, I can breathe better. My breathing improves because I can breathe through my diaphragm. I can focus on those types of things, which helps you to focus on your mindfulness by how you breathe and how you think. And everything kind of syncs together nicely when you put three simple things together. And that's kind of what we're trying to do for kids, make it easy for them to make it easy for adults in a fun illustrated built book format.
Stir them out. I've been trying to sit like this the whole time you and I are talking, and it does feel very nice and different, and you know, it hopefully puts less pressure on your neck and shoulders. How do you feel about the CBD to fight inflammation and to aid in everything that physical therapists and chiropractors also do, doctor? What are your thoughts on CBD?
Component of CBD. I sell some of it in my practice. The problem with CBD is it's unregulated, so we don't know what we're getting sometimes. We don't know the actual contents of the CBD lotions that we purchase, or the, you know, gums or whatever we're taking, ingesting the CBD. We don't really know what percentage of CBD. It's a very effective tool that I use, particularly in my golfers with areas that are less meaty, like for example, like elbow problems, lateral epicondylitis, golfers at elbow, tennis elbow, areas where there's a little bit more surface that I can put the CBD lotion on. I think that there's more effectiveness to it. For joint problems, I think it's effective as well in smaller areas. Yeah, and empirically, it's hard to know sometimes whether these products are working, but if patients feel better, then we have to accept the fact that they are working, correct? Because there are no tests that we can run on people or, you know, to generate data that says, oh, this is definitely working, other than sometimes a subjective, you know, affirmation that yes, this worked, or objectively might be able to see better range of motion and types of things as well. But so I'm all for CBD. I think as another adjunct to my care for patients, I will certainly recommend it. But once again, it's a piece of the puzzle that we try to use to get people better.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Mike Bott, for Batman, for joining me. Continued success. Good luck with your book. That sounds wonderful. Good luck with your foam roller there. I love it. The swing back, right? Swing,
yep,
and then BAK.
BAK, that's right.
And, you know, continued success. Thanks for joining me, and we'll have to get you on again soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll be happy to send you one of my swing back foam rollers, and you can start using it.
I would love that. You're so sweet. Thank you so much. Dr. Mike Bott, who is on the PGA Tour medical staff, founder of Pinnacle Sports Performance and Rehabilitation in Austin, Texas, and certified by the Titleist Performance Institute as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.